Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We celebrate a little self-described geek culture now with SDPB Steve Toom. Steve was at SuperCon in Sioux Falls recently, and he wrote about the experience for the SDPB Living blog. You can find that online along with photos of the event, video interviews. You go to sdpb.org, click at the top link for Living, and you'll find it there. Steve Toom is with me in the studios now in Vermilion. Hey, Steve.
Hi, hello. How are you doing?
Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for going to SuperCon.
It was torture, let me tell you. No, it was. Gotta twist my arm to go to that. It was a lot of fun. I missed last year's convention because I was out of town, so I was looking forward to this year's convention. I heard a lot about it from friends of mine who attended, and I had a great time.
Are you a comic culture guy? What part of this
I've been a geek all my life, I think. I grew up such a big fan of the Star Trek, Star Wars, and I was never into comic books. I just couldn't afford them, and there wasn't a comic book shop anywhere nearby, but I still know of the culture, still a fan of the art form.
Did you dress up, or did you just wear your SDPB gear?
I just have my SDPB gear on. I contacted the organizers of the convention, and they were really happy that we were going to be covering them, and so I had my SDPB gear on, and it was really nice because I would, all I do is go up to a guest and say, I am with the South Dakota Public Broadcasting, can I talk to you? And everyone was more than happy to talk about their particular art or what they were doing or their organization there, and we had a lot of support there. It was really, really nice.
So when I talked to the organizers before the event, the thing that stood out to me so much was their focus on inclusion and how so many people come and then see someone else who is into the same thing that they're into and sort of exhale and feel like, hey, this is a place where I can be silly or I can be creative. Is that kind of what you found? Did it have that sort of inclusive environment?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a family affair, so you had kids there, you had parents there, you had grandparents there. So this was kind of like a multi-generational event. And growing up, when I did, and I don't know if I want to say I'm 50 years old right now, so I've been a fan for a long time. Back in the pre-internet days, it just seemed like, oh gosh, am I the only person that likes that? When you go to a convention, whether it's a large one or a small one, you find out that, hey, I'm not the only person out there that likes this particular author or comic book or anime series or whatever it is. And you have that sense of camaraderie that's there, and it's really, really special. And it's just a wonderful, fun time because you can just talk about all sorts of the finer points of your fandom.
All kinds of things that you don't recognize, too, sort of things that people are into that...
You discover new things there. You discover maybe a new television series that you hadn't heard of, or maybe a new author or a series of books or comic books, or you meet an organization that, hey, I didn't know there was a fan club for... fill in the blank here, and then you find out, hey, there's a Ghostbusters fan club? I didn't know that such a thing existed, and there, I got a chance to talk to some of those guys.
All right, we're going to start with some of those clips, and we're going to start with the Ghostbusters. Who are we talking to?
That is Brandon Moe, who decided to start up his own chapter there, and he actually has his own Ghostbusters vehicle, which was actually parked outside, so when you walked into the convention, you walked right by his own version of his own Ghostbusters vehicle.
What gave me the idea was that I had heard that there were Ghostbuster fan groups in every state, and South Dakota did not have one. And so I said, well, I'll get on Facebook and I'll start one. And so I did. And then the documentary Ghostheads came out, and all these people found me on Facebook. And so I decided that I just use that momentum to start a group and try to do some good. And we bring smiles to people's faces, and people just love seeing Ghostbusters.
And again, you can see the Ghostbusters vehicles and see the full videos that Steve Toom was just all over SuperCon. Taking videos and pictures and talking to folks. That's at sdpb.org on the Living blog. Just go up to the top right-hand corner, click on Living, and it'll come up there. So a little bit of Ghostbusters, a little DeLorean.
Oh, yeah. The DeLorean there is a replica of the 1982 DeLorean featured in the Back to the Future movie starring Michael J. Fox. And that was Terry Oliver, and I'm trying to remember her husband's name here. Right. It just escapes me. Oh, Terry and Oliver. were there, and they had the vehicle, and they actually raised money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So if you want your picture taken, like standing next to the DeLorean or in the driver's seat, they open it up. It's all lit up, and you can sit down in there. It's an exact replica of it. And they go from state to state, and they just raised money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and it was wonderful talking with them. They travel 1,000 miles. They've actually been overseas with that vehicle. So they just fly
it there.
Well, not quite. They have to put it on a boat and ship it there. If only it were like the real life.
Only. We're not there yet. Hoverboard, though, close.
No, Mr. Fusion, that's not a real working Mr. Fusion. Someday we'll get there, hopefully.
All right, so let's talk about some of the costumes and cosplay and costume play, which are costume role play. That's what I learned. The last time that's what that actually stands for.
Yeah, and the fans that like to dress up as their favorite characters from various things. It could be a TV show, a movie. It's mostly associated with anime, although you see more and more people dressing up as characters from video games because you get the PlayStation and Xbox games. Some of these games are, well, they're like watching a movie. They're such high quality, and they come up with really, really interesting characters and stories, and they have a lot of fans. And cosplay is something that has taken off over the last number of years, and there was people there. They actually have panels for it for people who go around and do this at convention, and they give pointers because they do have contests there. And Rachel Buskell was somebody that I talked to, and she had some really good pointers.
The panel was kind of an open Q&A discussion on different aspects of cosplay. Some of them were different tips on, like, how to do body paint, how to enter cosplay contests, how to work with different kinds of materials for props, best kinds of materials for sewing, worst kinds of materials for sewing. It was kind of a broad range of them. The cosplay roundtable was just, it's really fun because you never quite know what questions cosplayers really have for you as a cosplay contest judge.
All right, before we go any further, Steve Toom, can you tell me exactly what anime is?
Anime is Japanese animation. Sorry, I suppose I should define the terms out there. And it's a form of entertainment made popular in Japan because they have a larger percentage of their entertainment media that is animation. We call it cartoons, and we just think, oh, it's for kids. But in Japan, they do things for all ages where they'll do serious dramas, there'll be action stuff, there'll be science fiction. It's not just something for kids. And that caught on, it really started in the 1980s, and you had with the show Akira, and then you had more and more prevalent through the 90s, and it was popular by people just circulating tapes doing what they call fan subs, where they would have somebody translate it and have the words on the bottom of the screen and then match it up to the video. And then as people realized this became more and more popular, it was distributed by major media companies, but it has really, really taken off. So yeah, it's Japanese animation, stuff like Dragon Ball Z, among other things. That's a really, really popular one that a lot of people have grown up with.
Okay, what's Sailor Moon? I'm just going to ask you all the questions that I
Sailor
don't know.
I know what it is. I haven't watched it myself. But the thing about Japanese animation is that they will have series that will be tailor-made to certain audiences, like young girls, young boys, teenage girls, more for adults.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very, you know, you can find a lot of different types of shows, but they're animated.
So we should really open up the phones and have everyone call in and ask you, what's this? What's this?
Oh, I know
like
a little
internet.
Bit about of anime, but not a whole lot.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, this last clip that we heard, she was talking about body paint and weapons, all kinds of rules of what you can and can't do, can bring, can't bring in order to create this family-friendly environment. Did you find that it was a place that there were little kids and older kids, or did it take on more of a graphic tone in some places?
No, I mean, this is a family-friendly event, and there are rules for the contest there, so it has to be something that, is available for the public. You know, with the weapons and stuff like that, they have to be props. You know, they have to be plastics. If you actually have a real sword that's part of your costume, you know, it has to be tied down so you can't pull it out quickly. And it has to be a dull blade. You can't have sharp blades walking around. No real weapons. If you have a prop gun, it's got to be, you know, a prop. Can't be an actual working firearm. These are pretty standard rules for conventions no matter where you go. The thing I liked about the convention was the family-friendly atmosphere. Again, you had a lot of kids, and the kids were participating in the costume contest as well. And when I got the chance to talk to Brian Brokmeyer, who was the chairman, about that, you know, that was really one of the things he was setting out to do when he was looking to start up this convention.
The original drive to do this was so that my kids and my wife and I could do something fun with them. My poor daughter has to watch anything and everything that my wife and I are into, and we're both big nerds. So she's grown up watching Star Trek. She wore a Star Trek uniform today. My youngest was Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, and she had her little tiger with her. My son Liam loves Batman, and he wears Batman stuff all the time, Ninja Turtles. So my wife being a big Star Wars fan, it works out great because I love Star Trek, she loves Star Wars. So when we have to, if a new Star Trek movie is playing, she doesn't hate going, you know. And if new Star Wars movie's playing, you know, like there's no negotiating, like, well, if you have to watch that, I have to watch this. So it works out great.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
Squeezes in there. So the doors are wide open.
Yeah. It's anything like that as far as costumes goes. There were some really, really innovative ones. Some people would do creative spins on costumes. I think the people that won the costume contest did undead Star Wars stormtroopers, like out of a zombie apocalypse game. And I think there's something out there that was a husband and wife that actually did that. And those costumes were pretty fantastic.
So this is popular in South Dakota. It originates with Comic-Con, a nationwide thing? Or how does this come to the state?
Well, the Comic-Cons where you hear about, like San Diego and Salt Lake City and Chicago and New York, those are huge affairs. And they draw, well, San Diego Comic-Con, I think last year, had over 160,000 people. And they have to turn people away just because of fire codes. It's huge. You get all the big stars there. And there are other cities, you know, Phoenix, Dallas, Miami. They all do Comic-Cons. I think pretty much every big city does a Comic-Con. And they draw tens of thousands. I went to Salt Lake Comic-Con 2014, 125,000 people in only its second year of existence. They did 75,000 their first year. And that's kind of typical. I mean, it's geek culture, and it's very prevalent. And you have so many shows, so many, it's far beyond anything I ever could have imagined. When I went to my first con back, actually the first convention I ever went to, it was a gaming convention that I actually ran myself. I'm one of the few people who say, yeah, the first con I ever went to was when I was the chairman and ran it. But the first one I went to that I wasn't running it was in Denver, and it was just huge. I mean, it was like 20,000 people. And I thought, and that was a huge at the time. I never thought that they would get to the level that they have. I mean, this is just beyond my wildest dreams as a fan of somebody who's been a fan for a long time.
We just get to be big kids, don't we?
Yeah, it's a chance to just be a big kid and have a lot of fun, and that's the whole point. There was great enthusiasm, a great atmosphere here. People were just having fun, and you're learning about new things. I found out that there are some authors in South Dakota that are writing and publishing independently. You find out there's artists in the area that are doing fantastic work, and it's just, you know, you're finding out a whole lot of things that you may not necessarily be a fan of, but you're like, oh, that's cool. I got to find out more about it.
All right. Thanks for bringing the fun to us. SDPB Steve Toom, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.